The following Bass Talk Live iTunes podcast is brought to you by Lowrance. BTL, coming at you. Bass Cat Boats, Strike King Lures, AFCO, and Duckett Fishing. Good Monday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Yes, it is good to be home, but my partner in crime, he's back in Vegas. Matthew, how you doing, man?
Good. Yeah, it's kind of weird how the schedules worked out. I finished my last Costa, and then the girlfriend made the Indian National Finals Rodeo, which is held at South Point Casino in Las Vegas. It's actually like a drive-in casino with an arena in it. It's pretty cool. They got like stalls underneath and everything. So we're staying at like the Las Vegas Horse Ranch, which is a couple miles away in her horse trailer. And then she's got the horses here, so they're not as stressed out as if they had to stay underneath the casino with all of it. So they get a kind of a quiet sanctuary, and then she will take them over there tomorrow for her first of four runs. And then it's kind of like think of it as an Elite Series tournament where they would pay you at the end of each day based on where you stood, and then they would pay the overall winner too.
Huh.
So there's actually like five opportunities to make money, one for each run and then the overall time. So it's kind of a unique format, but I think there's like it's the Indian National Finals, so you have to be Native American to participate, obviously, at some portion. And I think there's contestants from like all over the country in Canada that qualify for this thing. So I decided to come out for a few days. Then I fly back Wednesday, then I leave Thursday for the Costa Championship on Cumberland. And in the meantime, you just got back from Vegas from ICAST.
Yeah.
And then you went, and a big congratulations, Mark, a top 15 finish in your first professional senior bowling event.
Yeah. It was.
How about that?
It was a grind.
Too bad it wasn't a win. It was a total failure. You barely covered your expenses. You didn't even make the match round.
Yeah.
You just made the cashier's round.
Yeah.
15th. I mean, you're not going to be making any money on that, and you didn't even sniff the lead. So what an utter and complete failure that weekend in Waxahachie had to be, Mark.
It was progress, all right? I've said that a zillion times.
Did you win?
I failed. I absolutely failed.
You are a failure.
You are
a massive failure.
I don't know
why you even took your balls out of the bag.
A total and complete failure. But what did I say? What did I say?
I've been
waiting
a long time for that rant,
yeah,
Mark. No, congratulations. It was it was really cool. I was able to log on to the live scoring link and actually see that you had made the top cut through the you bowl eight games, and then they take your total number of pins, and you were 12th after that?
13th.
13th, and then
finished
additional
up
five additional rounds after that, finish up 15th. So, heck, that's a heck of a start for a guy who hasn't been in a serious bowling contest in, 30 years?
Yeah, it was pretty funny, too, because Saturday night they had a pro-am, and if you made the finals, what they call the final round, if you made the finals or qualified for Sunday, you had to bowl in the pro-am. So Pete McCordick, who is the tournament director, he looks at me and he goes, what do you want me to say on your bio? I said, this is my first PBA tournament in 32 years. And he starts cracking up. He goes, that's all I need. He said, that's
very
enough.
Nice. So when did you get to bowl with?
Local people. I mean, it was
it
was one of those.
So what they do when they announce you?
He said, and bowling in his first PBA tournament in 32 years, he makes the cut and qualifies, averages almost 200.
March oh, my ever. God. So you were the pro in the pro-am?
Yeah.
Oh.
What, you wanted to know what pro I bowled with? Oh, come on, yeah, man. That is so bad. That is total disrespect. Look, I know I'm not that good.
No, it's not.
That is bad. Anyway, you know, we're not going to get into old bowling talk, but bottom line is there were a number of people I hadn't seen in a zillion years, and it was a really good feeling to make that cut. And I'll be honest with you, Matt, it was gut-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
It really was, because the shot was so tough. It was kind of like the U.S. Open last week. I'm not kidding. You know, when you look at the stats from the U.S. Open last week, it took a little over 6 pounds to get a check. That's it.
Yeah.
A little over 6 pounds.
I don't know. I'd be a little cautious comparing the Waxahachie Senior Open to the U.S. Open at fishing,
I'm
Mark.
I'm talking about the conditions. You know, one guy in the entire field surpassed the 30-pound mark over 3 days, and that was Nick Salvucci, the guy that got it done, the guy that you fished with last year, and mm-hmm. he didn't even have 10 pounds on the final day, didn't even have a limit on the final day. I'm not comparing the status of the event and the prestige.
No, I know what you mean. Very difficult.
Very
not a lot
difficult.
Of room for slippage. If it gets away from you, it's gone.
Yeah. So,
all right.
You know, it is
that
what
was
it
a good
is.
Transition, though, from bowling to the U.S. Open.
Yeah. So it was a massively tough U.S. Open, and hopefully some of the people got to you know, watch the weigh-in and see some of the trials and tribulations these guys went through. A lot of big names this year, Matt, in the U.S. Open did not perform well at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that part of the reason why it was so tough at the U.S. Open this year was there was no wind, Matt. It was glass.
It was 5 foot higher than it was last year. I know that threw some guys, and I'm sure Brad's going to talk about that tomorrow, or Kurt Dove. It'll threw those guys for a loop. You know, they're expecting it to be exactly like it was before. And then also with the calm conditions, it allowed everybody to run. So you had that whole group of guys up at Overton who last year had one day canceled for the win. So now you've got the spot that's notorious for not giving up solid limits three consecutive days, which is what makes it tough. But the allure is there's big bites up there.
Yeah.
So now you have the 3 days. And, you know, yesterday, the first day that they did let us go, it blew. And I remember I watched two dozen boats turn around just at the mouth that were with the guy that I was with.
Yeah.
So now you had everybody that was able to get up there. And it was tough fishing up there, and it was 5 foot high, so there was a lot more hidey holes.
All right, last thing I'm going to say about bowling, because it is BTL related. I didn't tell you this, but this was pretty funny. So during the Pro-Am, one of the questions that I asked everybody, because come on, man, we're in the middle of freaking Texas. Everybody bass mm-hmm. fishes in Texas, right?
So do you bass fish?
So that was one of the questions that I asked all three groups that I bowled with. I had to bowl with three different groups. And the second group that I got to, there was this one guy, and he was like, oh, yeah. And he fished the PFLs. He fished Bass Champs with Chad.
Okay, so he's serious. He's the man. He knows what's up.
And he looks at me, and Matt, he gives me this weird look. He's like, wait a minute. He goes, are you Mark Jeffries on BTL? I go, yeah, that's me, man. Oh, my gosh. And he was a BTL fan, and he was bowling the Pro-Am in Waxahachie, and it was pretty cool. His kid came up. His kid wanted to talk fishing to me.
Waxahachie.
So all in all, Matthew, just a very, very stressful week. But at the same time, man, I had an absolute blast, and this whole comeback thing has been very, very enjoyable. I'm sore. Got to get in better shape. If I'm going to make a run next year and actually bowl some national events, got a long way to go.
That's what I was saying to someone. Like, I mean, I was stressed out because I got this, and then, you know, I went to two coasters without a check. I got the next coast. So you're stressed out because the lake conditions were bad. And I was telling someone, I was like, like real life, like we're stressed out over like bowling and fishing tournaments. Like that's a pretty good trade-off compared to what most other people are. I know you're stressed out about more than other things in your life too, but I mean, I kind of a live in the moment type guy, so it's kind of tough for me too.
No, I get it. All
you
right.
know what I'm saying.
I'm with
fast
you, man.
Fishing and bowling anyway.
Pretty funny. All right. I want to let everybody know, this week, Matt's going to be obviously in Vegas doing the rodeo thing. We'll have him on live via Skype tomorrow. Bradley Hallman's going to be in studio because so much took place, obviously, with the announcement of Major League Fishing buying FLW. We're going to get into some of the discussion with Bradley on that, talk about his U.S. Open experience, and then we're going to open up the phone lines on Wednesday. It's not a Sunline Hotline show, but if anybody has a direct question that they would like to ask Bradley on Wednesday's show, he's going to be in studio on Wednesday. And then I am also working on trying to link up. It's not booked yet, and I don't normally do this. I did talk to him at the U.S. Open. Randy Blockett has agreed to come on the show and talk about the entire situation. And then I also received word that David Dudley would like to come on the show because some of the stuff that he has said on social media, from what I understand, is he is very pleased with the progression and this acquisition by Major League Fishing. So I think we're going to try and get two different takes. Randy, obviously, very, very outspoken on so many subjects in the world of fishing. Both guys having done it for so many years, Matthew. It's going to be really interesting to get their take on so many changes in the world of professional bass fishing. So that's kind of the plan for this week, man.
Did you know that Randy hasn't had a radio in his car for almost 4 years?
Do what?
Randy Blockett, according to his social media posts, the radio in his truck quit working almost 4 years ago. He never got it fixed, so whenever he's driving in his truck, he drives in complete silence.
Interesting. I couldn't handle that.
He said it's very reflective.
Could not handle that.
Of that nature.
Can you imagine?
Like you can think a lot.
Can you imagine doing anything in total silence for 5 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, I'll drive sometimes without anything on. I mean, fishing. Fishing is 8 hours of, for the most part, total silence.
Yeah, but I mean, but you're focused on the task at hand. I'm talking about in a vehicle.
Be focused on driving. No, that's why I thought it was noteworthy to mention that.
Yeah. All right. A couple of things happened while we were gone last week. And oh, by the way, folks, last week we did do one show. We had the interview with Boyd. And if you haven't listened to that or watched that, highly recommend it. It was one of the more He was pretty forthcoming with a lot of information on that show. So if you haven't listened or watched that show, make sure you check that out. And one of the things, one of the biggest takeaways that I got from that, Matt, was the question about competition. And they are definitely in a competition now. There's two heavy players. There's Bass. There's Major League Fishing. And that's it. And last week, Bass comes out with a couple of big announcements. One, Dick's Sporting Goods, gone. All right, not the title sponsor of the Bassmaster or Geico title sponsors. Now, Academy takes that spot, and then Hook also becomes a presenting sponsor for the Bassmaster Classic. And two huge moves by Bass from a sponsorship standpoint last week.
I saw that. That was impressive. And then MLF countered with Mark Davis article about why more is better, kind of him going over. I mean, they kind of laid out, hey, it hasn't always been five fish. I mean, that's kind of a right hook, isn't it?
Yeah,
you're going to see a bunch of series. I think you're going to see a bunch of articles that take shots at Bass and a bunch of articles that take shots at the new owners of MLF.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say this, Matt, and this may be right or wrong. Obviously, people are going to have opinions, and opinions are just part of life. But in my early days of being involved in a corporate environment, and that's what this is now. This is not just, you know, a ma-and-pa shop in downtown Smallville, USA. These are two major companies, major corporations that are going to battle. And that's the bottom line. And what I learned early in my career after graduating college and being in the corporate world is you do not speak badly about your competition. You can highlight things about your competition, but you do not speak badly about your competition. And what you want to focus on is why your product or service is better than the competition. Does that make sense?
That's the truth. It makes sense, but I mean, if it's not beneficial to attack, then why are there so many political campaigns and strategists who employ the attack ad if it's not effective?
Well, that's one way of doing it. Okay.
Well, you said that you learned that that's not a good way.
Hang on a minute. From a customer perspective, in other words, if you're sitting on the other side of the negotiating table, they don't want to hear everything that's bad about your competition. They want to hear why your product is superior to the competition.
I mean, it's more fun to hear them talk about what they don't like about the other
well,
one.
I agree with that. But I'm telling you, to a lot of companies, it is a turnoff. When you're trying to capture sponsorship dollars, that is a turnoff.
Right. Now, I want to talk about it now for all the members, because Bass likes to throw out the half million mark. I'm not sure what FLW and MLF is at now, but I would assume that now I will be joining MLF instead of FLW if I want to fish a BFL or the Costas next year.
That is correct.
So in this previous world that now seems decades away, where it was kind of MLF, its own third-party deal, FLW and BASS, I would say that at times there was some light friction between FLW and BASS. But for the most part, they survived as a harmonious existence between the FLW Tour and the Elite Series, and a lot of Elite Series anglers in the past, when they could, would fish the Tour, and Mercer would talk about a FLW Tour or a Forestwood Cup champion or something that had been on the Elite Series before. Would you say that although they were in competition, it was fairly harmonious?
I agree with that.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Well, now, do you think there's still going to be a harmonious existence between this MLFLW and NMLF and BASS? And also, as far as the fan base, you had a lot of people that fish the Opens that also fish BFLs, or fish the Nation that also fish the TBF, or Opens and Costas and flip-flop. Or now, do you think as an angler, as a consumer, just the way all this has gone down and looking at social media, there's going to be more polarization between you are either in the, and I'm talking about this at the local and the regional level, not the national level, as far as I fish the MLF, or, and I'm not talking about format, it's just hard because you hear MLF and you think that format, I'm talking about it as the organization. I fish MLF or I fish Bass now. Or do you still think you're going to see that much intermingling like you did with BASS and FLW?
I don't think so. Right now on the instant feedback, Joe in Florida posted a comment that I can't post, but he's very opinionated on his feeling toward Major League Fishing. Look, I think the line in the sand has been drawn. I really do. Come on, man. Let's face it. We talk to weekend guys. We talk to the people that are making consumer decisions. We talk to fans of, guys on Major League Fishing, fans of Bass, fans of guys that were on the FLW Tour. This has divided. This has divided the fan base to where I truly believe, unlike things that have taken place, you might have a little bit of brand loyalty to one side or the other, but at the same time, a guy that might have fished a BP Top 150 back in the 90s would still fish a BFL and wouldn't have any emotional, involvement from an opinion on what this organization is like. I think now the line in the sand has been drawn and people are on one side or they're on the other. Bottom line.
I disagree for a large majority on that. I think if you're going to have a BFL at $200 or you're going to have a Costa series that hits two of your three favorite lakes with a $1,700 entry fee, but where you're not going to have to drive anywhere, I think you'll still have guys that are members of Bass that fish those. I think that it's still a five fish format. It's still, you bring it in. I mean, it would be hard for me if I had the open weekend. And listen, I prefer the five fish format, Mark. I think I'll say that now.
Yeah.
It has nothing, like I said, like it has nothing to do with the people that are over there. It just has to do with what format I prefer.
Yeah.
So I prefer the five fish format. So I can still be with MLF and fish the five fish format for those $200. And if the payout's going to be similar and it's down, I mean, even though I would say I am a BASS traditionalist, why wouldn't I want to fish that? I mean, the entry fee's down. It's going to be more accessible. There's going to be more of an opportunity for me to fish the coastal level. The only thing that would be holding me back is if I want to continue to fish that five fish format, the ultimate goal then would be the Elite Series. And then if I choose to fish the opens instead of the Costas, this is real interesting too. You want to get into Clear Path right now? Because we got time to get into the Clear Path thing.
Hey, you need to, and I apologize to people that are going to listen to the replay on iTunes. Something's up with your mic. Every time you move, it like squeaks.
Oh, is that because it's probably hitting? This is the first time, Mark, in over a year that I've worn a non-AFCO garment on BTO.
Well, you could be spreading the label to the rodeo world, and you're not doing that, man.
Oh no, I totally am. The AFCO hoodie, like that you can pull up over your face. Massive implications for winter barrel races.
Interesting. All right,
is that better?
That's much better, much better. Okay. So hopefully we got that problem. Now, let me just backtrack a minute on this whole line in the sand thing. What I'm referring to is I am referring to people that have loyalty toward one brand or the other. When it comes to guys that want to fish, they're going to fish whatever they want to fish because there are guys out there that's all they want to do. They could care less if it's ABC brand. They want to fish. They want to win money. But what I'm saying is, for those people that are loyal to a brand, that line in the sand has been drawn to where I don't think you're going to have a whole lot of a crossover to those people that are entrenched.
Oh, look who's in for a cameo appearance.
What, the horse?
Cameo appearance in the horse trailer.
Wow, this is a first.
This is a first right here.
A first, man. People are going nuts. What'd you say?
Oh, I said she smells good. She has like some lotion that smells kind of like a mixture between like a cinnamon roll and a late night out.
So what are the horses doing right now? Are they sleeping? What are they doing?
What are the horses doing?
This is going to turn into horse talk live. All right.
No, you got 30 seconds. So the horses right now, the horses don't sleep much.
No, they sleep like 3 hours a day.
That's it?
Yeah.
It's like you, Mark.
Yeah, good point.
Except they're easier to take care of.
What about eat? Do they eat a lot? Do they eat all the time?
Yes. Yeah, I feed them twice a day. They get grain and then they get hay, free choice of hay. And then they get an occasional flake of alfalfa.
She's totally lying. They get more like health supplements than John Cruise.
Really?
They're athletes.
Yeah.
They're athletes.
I mean, it's like, you know, like John Cruise in like a mid 8 week set to like blast the pecs and buys. They get way more supplements than Cruise.
The only horse supplement or medication that I know of is Lasix. Do they take Lasix?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. See?
I do.
All right. There you have it. Good. That's all I know. That's all I know.
All right. She's going to go feed it, but she's going to kick my butt for this. But she sat down next to me. I figured she wanted a cameo.
Very nice. All right. See, so many people on the instant. All right. Now you can hear me. So many people on the instant feedback thought that she was like a facade or some made up thing, that you really didn't have a girlfriend.
I mean, if I wanted to get someone to like pretend to be my girlfriend in Vegas, I mean, that's a couple dollar bills away, but that's the real one.
Wow.
Follow me on Instagram. She's all over my Instagram.
There you have it. All right. Anyway, back to the conversation. Do you understand what I'm saying about drawing the line in the sand?
Yes, I understand.
All right.
But I also think there's people, I mean, let's just talk real here, Mark. I think there's a lot of people that are going to bitch about the FLW purchased by MLF, but they're still going to fish the BFLs when it comes down to it.
I agree.
I think there's people that are going to say that they're not going to do one thing, but they'll still do it because it's going to be there. It's going to be cheaper. It's going to be more accessible. The format's going to be the same, and the payout's going to be the same.
And they're going to have more divisions in the coast too.
So why would you fish? What do you have? Just because you don't like the Every Fish Counts format on TV doesn't mean you shouldn't fish the BFLs.
That's exactly what I'm saying. The guys that want to fish,
I agree,
they're going to fish. But from a fan perspective, they're right, either going to like it or they're not going to like it. They're on one side or the other. That's what I'm talking
right
about.
Yeah, definitely. It's more polarizing now.
Yeah. All right. A lot of comments were made about your demeanor, Matthew, during the Duckett interview. You know, very fidgety, it seemed to be a little frustrated, you know, about the fact that next week on the Cumberland River, you do not have an opportunity to make the FLW Cup because the Cup doesn't exist anymore. Do you want to elaborate at all, or you just want to move on down the road?
No, that's what we want to talk about. So this is what this show's about. Like, is talking about this stuff, Mark.
Yeah.
No. So the whole thing, like, I was interested in that. Okay, I wanted to try to keep it as neutral as possible because that's something that's going to affect 20 people. What we're talking about is the divisions of the coast is now you fish your three coast events. The top 40 in each division qualify for the FLW, the Forest Wood Cup. With the acquisition of FLW by MLF, there is now no Forest Wood Cup to qualify for. This Costa Championship, then, you qualify in your top 40 in each division. I qualified in the Southwestern and the Central Division. The top two in each division at the Costa Championship should then move on to the Forest Wood Cup. They read these rules to us at every FLW event, which is a guaranteed $10,000 check, even if you go out and finish last. Which is a pretty good deal. Not to mention, you get to talk to your sponsors and stuff and tell them that you'll be in the Forest Wood Cup in August, which the media impact of that, the FLW magazine, the website, all sorts of podcasts and interviews and magazine articles leading up to that. And then the announcement that there's the FLW Pro Tour and they just cut the cup. And so you're going to have 10 anglers from the Costa Championship who do not make the Forest Wood Cup because there is no Forest Wood Cup after
right,
paying $1,900 in entry fees and being promised this the entire year as the – I mean, I fished two divisions, so I would have twice as good a shot to qualify for the Forest Wood Cup because that's the ultimate goal in this. And you're talking about, you know, guys all the way from Casey Scanlon who have won tour events to weekend guys like me and stuff who are fishing it for our first time. You know what I mean? Like, we're all there to qualify for the cup. So it affects us 10. It also affects Brian Thrift because he won. Doesn't matter where he goes, he's going to make a championship. But then you also have some from the All-American and then I believe the TBF National Championship. So I think in all told, there's like 15 to 20 guys who are, for the most part, all amateur guys, like weekend guys like me and you, Mark, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. who are now not going to get to fish in the Forest Wood Cup. And like I said, I basically have a 1-in-20 shot of being one of these guys who kind of gets left out in the cold. So I wanted to approach that subject because I knew there's 200 guys at the Costa Championship that are not going to be happy about this, Mark, because now, you know, we're fishing for the cash and it's a lot of cash, especially if you're a ranger owner with incentives, but we put all of our trust behind that FLW Costa brand because a lot of us had options. You know, I had options between fishing the opens and fishing the Costas. And to me, it made a lot more sense to fish the Costas, ironically, because of stability. We had this talk off air because of stability, because of travel costs, and because of the fisheries they went to. So I put it behind FLW. Now is where you come in and talk about like the business part and what Duckett said about that. But I didn't want to like actually like drill that while he was on because that's such a small part.
Right.
But it's also like a big part, especially for us 200. And in the grand scheme, like, yeah, I understand stuff happens in acquisitions. But like in the meantime, it's like, okay, now MLF owns FLW, and the first thing they do is take almost a quarter of a million guaranteed money off the table from their top tier minor league system pros who have already put in over 10,000 each in expenses and entry fees to get to this level. And the very first thing you do is going to hack the top end of their championship and not offer any incentive or compensation or sweeten the pot at all, and then want us to have warm and fuzzies about continuing with that organization on in the future. Like, get real. Like, yeah, I'm pissed. And there's a lot of other guys who are really, really pissed about it.
Yeah.
I'm like mildly pissed because I kind of understand the situation.
Yeah.
There's other guys that are like, park the damn boat on the ramp. Why the hell are we even fishing pissed, Mark?
Yeah. Well,
and we're going to see it at the meeting on Wednesday.
I have two observations from this whole thing, Matthew, in relation to this particular subject. All right,
I'm fired up right now. I don't know if you could tell, but I'm like really fired up. Like, I just realized, like, my hands are kind of like shaking a little bit after that.
All right, two observations, and this is all related to business, man. It's all related. You have to understand that this was a business transaction, but sometimes when business transactions, you have to do the right thing. And what I mean by that is there could have been, let's just call it goodwill put in place when the contract – what is that, the toilet? What is that?
I don't know what that is.
Sound like the toilet
running.
Oh, that's
the refrigerator.
Okay. Anyway, there are – two goodwill situations that could have taken place. The first one being FLW has some enormously loyal anglers. Agreed?
Agreed.
Very, very loyal. And so many of those anglers have stuck with FLW for so many years. Part of the negotiation process, they could have included in the agreement to say, you know what? We want to make sure that we fulfill any obligations that we might have from the 2019 season. So whatever we promised, whatever we told the anglers that we were going to do that would carry over to the 2020 season, that needs to be included in this agreement. You know, if it was a deal breaker, they probably wouldn't have done it. Maybe it was. I don't know. I don't think it was a deal breaker because MLF wanted FLW that bad. From that premise, though, FLW had the opportunity to include language in the contract to where the people who made commitments to FLW, there should and quite possibly should have been a goodwill language put in the agreement to say, hey, we want to make sure that these guys from 2019 get taken care of in 2020. Boom, the ink is dry, it's done, it's over. Now, the agreements that were in place, the anglers in all aspects of the 2019 season are fulfilled in 2020, and after that, MLF can do whatever they want to do. That didn't happen. So now you have a situation from the MFL, or from the MLF perspective of, hey, we bought the assets. That's what Boyd said. We're not obligated to do anything. So now you have a second situation of possibilities to where Major League Fishing could actually go, and if they want to, they're not obligated to. That wasn't part of the negotiations. They don't have to do anything. They bought assets. But once again, from a goodwill transaction, they could go, you know what, guys? We understand the commitment that you made to FLW for 2019. Here's what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do to make up for the fact that there is not an FLW Cup. So, in summary, two situations. There could have been contract negotiations to where the 2019 obligations are fulfilled in the agreement before the transaction occurred. And then
that's on FLW.
That's on FLW. And then the second thing is, even though there is absolutely no obligation required from Major League Fishing, there could be a possibility of some type of goodwill gesture to take care of those guys in some way, some aspect, to fulfill the commitment that those anglers made to the 2019 season. That's what I see, man.
This is what I'm wrestling with now. we've had Boyd on. I've read the articles about it. I've listened to the BPT anglers who were previously on the FLW tour talk about how this is better for everybody. Boyd has talked massively about growing the sport, about the reduced entry fees, more access to the costas. The rules and everything is based on what the anglers, what the competitors want. So what they have been heavily on is making the sport better for everyone involved. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like, how does this make the sport better for anyone involved when you've got, you have got 40 in each division of one of your top tier minor league programs? I mean, you're talking about the anglers that are going to be moving on to the FLW Pro Circuit and then the Bass Pro Tour, because it's the top 40 in each of the coastal divisions, the five divisions. You actually have a Western division, believe it or not, an Eastern, a Southwestern, a Central, and a Northern division. So you've got these anglers that are all spending massive amounts of money to come here. It just makes sense. Let me pose it to you as a question, Mark. A business question. Does it make, what makes more sense to you? Even though you don't have the obligation saying, sorry, it sucks to be you in this transition year that you chose to fish FLW and now you're going to spend $2,000 in expenses to get to this no entry fee event to hope to finish in the top 40 to barely break even.
Mm-hmm.
Or to say, listen, we know we don't have an obligation, but because the Bass Pro Tour is rolling, because everything is going so smooth, because we have these sponsors, we got a 52-hour TV contract with FLW, and we know that a number of you, that's guaranteed, that are in this championship are going to go on to the FLW Pro Circuit and the Bass Pro Tour. Like, this is $250,000 out of our pocket. We don't have an obligation to do this, but we want you to stay with this organization. We want to create goodwill right from the start and show mm-hmm. how committed we are to the anglers, to at a minimum for each of those anglers that qualify through the COSTA, cut a $10,000 check for each one of those, because what you're already doing by cutting the cup is taking the chance at $300,000 and the cup and the glory and the magazine articles and titles and everything that goes along with that. But at the very minimum, you're getting a $10,000 check for making the cup, which for a guy like me, if I end up finishing sixth in the Costa Championship, hypothetically, mm-hmm. you know, not that much money, not the 50 grand, the 25, the 10 grand. I mean, that doesn't do anything, but that $10,000 cup check then, I mean, that puts me above water for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what do you think the right thing to do is there?
Well, it's all about goodwill. And you know, Dave on the instant feedback said, well, Mark, were you part of the negotiations? Were you in that room? Do you know what took place behind closed doors? No. But what I'm throwing out is two situations that could have occurred and can occur from a goodwill standpoint.
That whole thing was, whether you're upset, your hypothetical situations are, if FLW didn't include it, then you should be bitching at FLW.
Yeah.
But if MLF got it, but then doesn't do it, then you should be bitching at MLF.
It's two situations that could have occurred that might and very well have taken care of the goodwill aspect to those guys that kind of got, you know, a raw deal. That's all I'm saying, folks.
And then I'm kind of caught in between the hard spot, because I'm not speaking negatively about either organization, right? I'm just talking about, like, the situation that is going on and what is frustrating the vast majority of the 200 anglers who are then going to show up at Cumberland in a week. I didn't go in pre-practice strictly because I know I'm not going to the Forest Wood Cup. Like, that takes a lot of money out of their economy. I know a number of guys who didn't go in pre-practice. They're just going to go show up and fish.
Well, hang on, Matthew. Let me ask you this. If MLF was to show some goodwill toward those anglers, with you being one of them, for the guys that would have qualified for the cup, do you think those guys would show immense brand loyalty if they were to get a check for $5,000, $10,000, whatever the number is?
Listen, I would be a lot more likely to continue fishing the Costas next year if they take care of those guys who do finish in the top two and would have qualified for the cup, regardless or not, if I'm one of them.
Right.
That's why I wanted to have this conversation before it came out, because it is a small group of anglers that's dealing with this, that's actually going to deal with this. I mean, I understand it. Like, if there's a lot of people that aren't in my shoes that are like, listen, giant business acquisition, stuff's going to happen. Get over it, Panger.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is, too, you know, how many anglers read the fine print in everything that is published to fish one of those events? And there's
honestly,
probably...
Honestly, Chris Saldane and...
I mean, did you read the fine print? There's probably some language in there. I haven't read it.
I did. So here's the deal. I read all the fine print, except I quit when I got to the legal jargon. Like, I read all the fine print and the rules and all that stuff, but I don't, like, read the legal jargon that, like... I mean, like, so I did back in the Elite Series, basically, like, you know, there's usually a clause that's like, hey, we can put whoever we want to on these tours, regardless of qualification. There has been, like, a line in each one of those for each of the tours, and you're like, wait, what? And you, like, read it again, and you're like, yeah. I mean, if they want to freaking put Tom Cruise on the Elite Series, there's a line in there that everyone signs that says they can put Tom Cruise on the Elite Series.
There's three words, man, that matter. Subject to change. And anytime you see that language in there,
that's at organization's discretion.
Yeah. So
anyway, did I come across as like a grumpy old bass fisherman who is bitching about stuff that I shouldn't be bitching about?
No, man.
Do you think I got a valid point?
It is a situation that obviously is affecting a number of anglers.
Pissed about it.
Is it a large number? It's not a large number.
Not a small number.
It's not a small number, but at the same time, the amount of goodwill and the amount of good publicity that could develop from MLF saying, you know what, here's what we're going to do. This is our goodwill decision based upon, you know, this purchase. We don't have to do it. Hell, there's a lot of things out there that companies don't have to do, but they do it.
From the Costa Championship. Like I said, I think it's like you're going to have the Costa Championship. I think you got your TBF National Champion. I think you might have some spots from the All-American.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cut us a 10 grand check.
So that's kind of the way I see it. You know, it's competition,
man. I mean, they're
still
saving money from the Cup. The Cup would have cost a bunch.
Listen. It's competition. Even in this situation, you're still competing for three things. You're still competing for three things. Fans.
The Costa Championship.
No. Listen to me. As a business, you're competing for three things. Fans, sponsors, and anglers. Those three things. Boyd said it on the show. This is a competitive situation now. How much goodwill could Major League Fishing capture, even if it's only 10 guys, whatever the number is, even if it's only 10 guys, I'm going to use the number 10, how much goodwill and how much of a competitive advantage could Major League Fishing get if they did something for those 10 anglers? I think a ton, in my opinion. I think a ton. Because let's face it, Matthew, a lot of people that don't like Major League Fishing is because of some of the situations that have occurred on the way that they have positioned their brand against bass. Agreed?
Right.
Now you have a situation of, they didn't have to do this, but you know what? They went ahead and took care of those 10 guys. Wow.
And they have a golden opportunity with the addition of the two Costa divisions, and let's face it, I mean, if bass had a sparkling gold standard open scenario set up to where the payout wasn't what the payout is right now and how it is, there's definitely room to still capture a big section of that market in the Costas, but I think, like I said, if bass had made their option, I mean, I'm not saying it's not attractive, but if they had gone overboard prior to all this and made it really, really attractive, then I think they'd be in trouble. But I think you still have a lot of anglers who are going to be interested in fishing those Costas.
You know, and honestly, man, maybe some guys out there that are fishing the BFL, they don't give a rat's ass.
That's what I was saying.
They just want to fish.
The show with.
Yeah, they just want to fish.
Like I said, I don't want this to turn into I feel like this show's kind of turned into a bitch fest.
It's not. We are identifying the goodwill situation that exists for both organizations, even though one's going away.
I can't see the instant feedback. Is there anybody that's what's the instant feedback as far as for and against?
It's pretty much for, I'd say. You know, business is business, bottom line. And you know, I get emails, and we've said this a zillion times on this show, Matthew. We get emails and we get messages and instant feedback all the time. And part of the reason why I think people like this show is because of the discussions that take place that we just have. No, we're not talking about, you know, the best way to tie on a jig or the best way to change a skirt out or anything like that. But you know what? Even though this industry that we love and that we're very passionate about is a swimming pool compared to the oceans of other industries, this is something that affects everybody.
Absolutely.
Even the person that only fishes a club event maybe once a year, or even the guy that doesn't fish. Because if whatever Major League Fishing and Bass does, they have to be profitable. And if they are profitable, the companies that are supporting both of these organizations are going to be able to keep the prices for the consumer at a level that make this game affordable for everybody. And right now, that is a big issue that for some reason nobody wants to talk about the fact on how much it costs. It's expensive. It truly is. And, and you know, we can go off on a tangent on that, but I just...
Let me put a bow on this, Mark.
All right.
So before I brought this up, hey, I got a message about this as we speak online. So before I brought this up, I talked to an angler who fished the Costas who did not make the championship. I talked to several anglers from the who fished the Costas who are in the championship. I talked to an FLW tour, pro tour anglers, and I also talked to a couple of Bass Pro Tour anglers about, hey, this is bothering me. Should I bring it up or not? Unanimously across the board, all five different sectors of anglers, from the BPT all the way down to BFL and the TBF, said, absolutely, you got to talk about this. So...
All right, man. Well, we shall see. And once again, folks, no.
What do you think the over-under is?
On what?
We'll get a little something extra in the pocket of the top two finishers in each division. Give it a percent chance, Mark.
5%. 5%.
You're 5%. You think this will just, no one will say anything about it and it'll go on as.
5%. But
I
think.
Do I need to go? Do I need to take the GoPro to the meeting?
Might be a good idea. I mean, do part of your boot camp, man. Make that part of it. As long as nobody has a problem with it.
I don't know. I'm kind of excited because you always hear about, like, the Elite Series meetings, like, behind the scenes that, like, the shit hits the fan, for back of a better term, Mark, where it's like, oh, it was chaos. And then so-and-so told so-and-so to shut the hell up. And then told us all to sit down. And then and all this. Like, we might be a part of that one on Wednesday, because I think there's going to be some ticked off guys.
Well, I'm going to say this. Obviously, with the situation, FLW doesn't exist anymore. It's Major League Fishing.
Right.
So from a goodwill standpoint, I think the only way that anything is going to get done is if Major League Fishing says, you know, we need to take care of these 10 guys. And then the goodwill goes in place.
But if they take care of us, they got to take care of the All-American, and they got to take care of the TBF National Champ. It's like 15, 20 guys.
Yeah.
$10,000 check, that's the minimum you'll be making. Goodwill. We want to keep this thing moving forward instead of digressing. Hold our word, even though we don't have to. Move on, done, boom. Great deal.
Yeah. You know, Dave pointed out a quote from the interview from last Monday from Boyd. It said, Boyd, quote, some will just have to accept the reset. Well, I get it. We're not saying that they are obligated to do this.
No, I get it.
We're not. That is not what we're saying.
I can accept the reset and then not fish and go over to Bass.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, once again,
the reset doesn't mean you have to buy the product.
Once again, three things: fans, sponsors, anglers. You got to take care of those three, and those three elements, those three entities are a huge factor when it comes to competition.
Yeah. So, I mean, am I taking advantage of the fact that I'm a co-host at Bass Talk Live with you on this and bringing it up? Absolutely.
No, hey, that's part of what we do here. That's why I wanted to make the statement. You know, this is a platform that really doesn't exist, of which you have the experience, you have the participation, you have, you know, obviously the business experience from so many years and being involved in the corporate world that I was involved in. Are we right all the time? No, but we have opinions. And I think that's what people enjoy, is based upon the establishment that we have in place with BTL, that people respect the fact that, that we have stuff to back up our opinions.
Hey, what's my first question going to be to you when I call you after the show? Was that okay? Did I go overboard on that?
Yeah. Hey, maybe you
What else you got, Mark?
Hey, I just want to point out one thing, and then we'll get out of here. How's your phone doing? Your phone okay?
I'm fine. It hasn't said 20% yet, so we still got it.
All right, last thing, and we could talk a little bit about this tomorrow with Brad, too, but recently there was an article, and I'm not even going to say who wrote it or where it's at because it doesn't deserve that, but it really kind of set me on fire, and I just shook my head. And the recent article was talking about how live coverage does not – that's the key word, Matthew — does not influence tackle sales. Are you kidding me? How can you make that statement? How can you say that, that the success and the high-level performance that these guys have on live is not going to influence consumer behavior? Are you nuts?
Have you been able to purchase a D'Amici crankbait for the past 5 months?
No.
Have you been able to find a spark shad with a Wagasagabi screw head for the past 3 weeks?
Dude, I said a long time ago that when guys construct their contracts, they should have an element in there that they get bonus money if they have an appearance on any type
Guess
of
what
live
I just
coverage.
Bought. Not one, but two cans of Bang.
I was floored when I read that comment. That
Who
live,
is it?
Dude, I'll tell you off the. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to mention it. I'll tell you.
I want to read it because obviously he's going to have to lay out his argument as to why it does not affect it.
I was floored by the fact that.
You didn't misread that?
I read it like five times, dude. I was like, okay. What? Are you kidding me? Anyway, so, all right. What else, Matthew? You got a race today? Is she racing today?
No, she's got her numbers ceremony. I'm getting a shirt. I'm getting one of my shirts starched. One of her friends who's in it, her mom, like, is apparently good at ironing.
Very nice. Very nice. Hey, you know what I'm actually doing this week, too, Matthew? I'm kind of excited about this. I'm getting all my gear together because
your fishing gear.
Yeah, this is one time of the year that I will make time to fish because I love fishing in the fall when the water temps get down in the 50s. You know, obviously the topwater bite. And I actually saw Steve Wunderlich, who, by the way, I've got to throw out a mention. Steve Wunderlich inducted into the St. Louis Bowlers Hall of Fame this past weekend. That is big time. I mean, you have people like Dick Weber, Pete Weber, Nelson Burton Jr. St. Louis at one time was the mecca and the Hall of Fame for all of bowling. At one time was actually located in St. Louis. Anyway, he was telling me about a lake. I saw him on Sunday. He actually came to Waxahachie to have lunch after I was done and watch me a little bit. Anyway, he told me about a power plant lake in Texas where a bad day in the fall and winter is 60 fish.
Yeah. I mean, if it's the same one I'm thinking of.
Do you know what it's called? Do you remember?
Blow it out of the water right now. I mean, that.
No, I'm just asking.
It gets a lot of pressure. It gets a lot of pressure.
They only allow, I think he said 100 boats on it. That's it.
Yeah.
But it's expensive. It's $30 to fish on it.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
$30 a boat.
There's a number of those. So. But
pretty
that's cool. Get your fishing stuff.
Yeah.
I got
Yeah. All right, man. That's all I got. Brad Hallman tomorrow. Hang
on. I'm usually not that opinionated, Mark. That's the most opinionated I think I've been in like 12 years. You always get off the show and you're like, what is it? You call me not Wisconsin. What's that?
What?
Sweden? Or what's the Norway? What is it over there that's like the neutral country?
What, Finland? I don't know.
Finland? One of those. The neutral country? That's what you always call me after the show.
Yeah.
That's Everyone's funny. Always like, oh, Panger's always neutral.
All right.
I mean,
hey.
I try to be reasonable.
Yeah.
But
hey.
This one got me fired up. I have a vested interest in it.
We went almost a solid hour. It was commercial free today, man. Commercial free, so.
We can get roasted on this one? Or?
No, just folks, make sure you do a couple of things. Obviously, support the people that support this show. Secondly, I want to remind everybody, it helps us out. By the way, we're almost at 600 reviews, Matthew.
Yeah, you said you would give away a used high school
something
basketball hoodie
yeah.
for the 600th review.
Yeah. So
someone in the top 600, because
yeah.
it doesn't make sense. Like, oh, if you've already reviewed us, you don't get it on. So
yeah.
we'll randomly pick someone.
Yeah.
We'll get a used wristband from Jeffrey's high school basketball team.
That's
and a blown-out sneaker.
That's pretty funny.
From 2006.
All right, so please.
I went to the Nike outlet here, Mark.
Did you buy anything?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to let you carry that torch.
All right. Anyway, on iTunes, if you're listening to us on iTunes, please, please review us. Give us a rating. Do a review. It helps us out tremendously. You know, all that information is valuable to the continuation of what we do here on BTL. All right, tomorrow, Brad Hallman in studio, and then hopefully I can get these other two interviews, either Randy Blockett or David Dudley on Wednesday, and we will continue, man. All right.
All right. Hey, get in here for the oh, she refuses to come in again. Look, she did get me Starbucks.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Hey, enjoy, Matthew.
Right,
Have fun. Take care of the horses.
All right. Thanks, Mark. See you
All
guys.
All right. We're out of here.